Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I would like to welcome you to the Digital Equipment first quarter financial results conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jeff Gibson, Manager of Corporate Public Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Digital's teleconference to discuss the company's first quarter financial results. These results were announced early this morning. My name is Jeff Gibson. I will be your host for this teleconference today. We're scheduled to end by 1 o'clock. For this teleconference, we'll begin with remarks by Bill Stoyle, Vice President of Finance and Chief Financial Officer, and then we'll have remarks by Ed Lucente, Vice President of Worldwide Sales and Marketing. Following their remarks, we'll take your questions. An operator will now begin with remarks by Bill Stoyle.
Thank you, Jeff. Good afternoon. Let me review the major elements of the first quarter results. While we are disappointed with the revenue decline in quarter one, the company is on its recovery plan, and the management is confident about our future. We incurred an operating loss in the first quarter of fiscal year 94. However, it was less than half the operating loss of quarter one FY93, even with the decline in revenue. Since the new management team has been in place under Bob Palmer, we have had 4 consecutive quarters of year-over-year improved results. During this period, operating losses before restructuring charges and accounting changes have been reduced by $840 million compared with the prior 4 quarters, from a loss of $915 million to a loss of $75 million, or from $7.62 per share to 71 cents per share, while the revenues remained essentially flat. As we continue to make our cost structure more competitive, Digital's major focus this year is on growing revenues. The new management team is in place. We are demonstrating leadership in open client server computing technology as our products roll out on schedule. Ed Lucente will touch on that in a moment. We are encouraged by the customer acceptance of our Alpha AXP systems, which represented 1/5 of our systems revenue in quarter one. We are in the midst of a major product transition to new Alpha AXP technology. A new sales compensation program was implemented in quarter one. The sales and marketing functions and customer business units have been consolidated to increase focus on customers and gain efficiencies. Alpha AXP marketing has been strengthened under Bud Enright's leadership. Revenue declined 9% in quarter one FY94 versus quarter one FY93. Sales were weak in Europe, but particularly weak in Germany and Italy. Currency translation was unfavorable as well. On a local currency basis, we actually saw revenue growth in the UK and Japan. We experienced a slight decline in the US compared with the first quarter of last year and saw good growth in Asia. Service revenue declined year over year 6% due to business weakness in Europe and unfavorable currency translation. In addition, we are focusing Digital Consulting on more profitable projects, thereby slowing revenue growth in this market. PCs and workstations continue to show strong growth in both units and dollars. Total company gross margin in the quarter was 36.1%, down 2 points versus quarter one a year ago. Product gross margins declined by 5 points from 42.3% to 37%, due primarily to the lower sales, unfavorable currency, and a continued mix shift to lower margin products. Research and engineering and sales general and administrative expenses continue to decline in absolute dollars and as a percent of revenue as we continue to drive toward competitive targets. Research and engineering expenses declined by $91 million, or 22%, and selling general and administrative expenses declined by $259 million, or 23% versus the first quarter of fiscal year 93, and are now 10.4% and 28.9% of revenue, respectively. We have removed in excess of $1 billion from the annualized cost structure of the company and reduced population by about 15,000 in the last four quarters on our continuing journey toward profitability. As we work on revenue growth, we will continue to focus on competitive benchmarking, re-engineering our internal business processes, and asset management, all of which are necessary for us to achieve and maintain competitiveness. More restructuring actions are planned for the remainder of fiscal year 94, utilizing the current restructuring reserve balance. To sum up, although we are disappointed about the revenue decline in the first quarter, we are encouraged by the acceptance of our new technology, the results of our continuing cost reduction efforts, and we remain confident about our future. We have made significant progress on reducing costs and continue to operate close to break even. While we anticipate sequential revenue growth in quarter two, we remain cautious about the level of growth given the economic uncertainties in Europe and the United States. We need to continue to work diligently to grow revenues and increase our market share. I'd be happy to take your questions, but first I'd like to introduce Ed Lucenti, Digital's Vice President of Sales and Marketing, who will give you a brief update on the company's sales efforts.
Good morning, everyone. I know that you're interested in the full financial results for the quarter, but I wanted to start by talking about the top line, revenue. That is where I've been putting my focus, and that is where Bob Palmer has asked me to put my focus, and that is why we have moved to a more simplified sales and marketing management structure. As you all know, I have been spending much of my time with our customers and with our field sales force. I believe I know what is working and what is not. I believe I understand our strengths, and I believe I understand what needs to be fixed. You've heard me say many times before that I am very impressed with Digital's product line. There is no technology gap or product gap that needs to be filled. It gets down to fundamental blocking and tackling in sales and marketing. Our challenge, simply stated, is to build our sales coverage as quickly as possible on a global basis. We are putting a sales structure in place that will be more productive, more efficient, and competitive. I believe we can reverse the revenue slide over time, but it will take time, as Bill has indicated. Let me tell you about some actions that we've recently instituted in the worldwide sales and marketing organization. We have several programs focused on selling open client server products, such as workstations, servers, and networking products. As you know, last July, we instituted an incentive compensation plan for the worldwide sales force. We have initiated a worldwide education program for the sales force. We have organized the sales force by industry and by account. We have deployed specialists in workstations, networking, and client server computing. And we are increasing the number of salespeople who will work directly with customers and with our channels partners. Our strategy is to be the leader in open client server computing solutions. We believe we can achieve leadership based on three very unique strengths. First, we are open, truly open. We have open hardware platforms. Our software is open. We have an open services philosophy and open business practices. Secondly, Alpha AXP. We believe that with this technology, we are guaranteed leadership in price performance. And third, we have global networking expertise and capabilities. It's a digital heritage. We are targeting specific opportunities, principally mainframe downsizing, PC upsizing, network applications, and high-performance computing applications. Our campaign to establish Digital as the leader in delivering open client server computing continues. You are seeing Alpha AXP chips, boards, and systems continue to roll out on schedule. More than 3,100 applications from more than 800 vendors are now shipping on Alpha systems under Unix, OpenVMS, and Windows NT. You saw with the announcement last week that when we have a focused product announcement with clear messages, the impact on the marketplace is both positive and emphatic. You should expect to see one major announcement from Digital each quarter instead of Digital's historic trickle-down approach. Just 1 week ago, nearly 3,000 chief information officers and executives from our major customers around the world attended announcement events to learn about Digital's open client-server strategy. The company's initiative included more than 200 new products and services, major enhancements to OSF 1, and OpenVMS operating systems. New Alpha AXP and VAX systems, all very competitively priced. We also announced symmetric multiprocessing on Unix, integration software such as LinkWorks, and industry-leading network management software. All of these capabilities enable customers to easily move to client-server computing. These products open up many new opportunities for our Alpha systems. Especially notable are new capabilities in the area of front office functions requiring Unix platforms and our ability to now transparently provide solutions to personal computers connected via network. Alpha AXP with the most robust Unix offerings available will help us gain back market share in the workstation market. In addition, we are now shipping Windows NT on Alpha AXP systems. We believe that NT with Alpha AXP is a dynamite combination. And customers are responding. For example, Credit Suisse, the second largest international Swiss bank, recently adopted OSF 1 on Alpha for commercial applications. Their decision was led by the availability of key commercial software components. And Carrier Corporation, a division of United Technologies, recently standardized their worldwide engineering and manufacturing operations on Alpha AXP platforms under Unix. There are many other examples of this, but I'll stop now. And Bill and I would be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Operator, at this point, would you open up the question line?
Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, you will need to press the 1 followed by the 4 on your push-button phone. You will hear a 3-tone prompt acknowledging your request, and your questions will be polled in the order they are received. If your question has been answered and you wish to decline from the polling process, you may do so by pressing the 1 followed by the 3 on your push-button phone. If you are using a speakerphone today, please pick up your handset before pressing the numbers, and please speak clearly into your handset when asking your questions. One moment, please, for the first question. John Yankin, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yeah, hi, this is Jonathan Yankin from the Associated Press. I was just wondering if you could say when you would expect to see some healthy revenue growth. Would it be within this year or sometime beyond then?
The company is planning on growing its revenue, and we're expecting more revenue in the second quarter and beyond. And we also expect to improve our profitability quarter over quarter as we go forward into the future.
Can I ask if you could just clarify that? I mean, I understand that you are saying to grow revenue, but I think what people are wondering is to grow it at a healthy or significant pace.
Let me try to break it down a little bit for you, Jonathan. First of all, in our PC business, we are coming from a position of relative low rank. We expect to be in the top 5 by doubling our PC volumes in our fiscal year 94 over 93. In our peripherals and storage business, we expect to see double-digit growth, and that's reasonable because we believe that the products that we have are clearly priced right and are price performance leaders. Our services business is not growing, mostly driven by the economic problems that we are experiencing in Europe. However, right now, our multi-vendor customer service is generally flat, and therefore it's hard for me to predict what that will do over the year. Our goal is to grow workstations at the rate of the industry and to hold market share. The question is, how quickly will Europe's economy rebound, and the degree to which the European problem will impact our overall performance. The total services business for Digital, when you add multi-vendor customer service with systems integration, which is something you have to do because of the overlap that exists between some of their activities, is expected to grow year over year. So we're expecting growth with the industry at a minimum, and greater than the industry in some of the areas that you've seen significant investments like personal computers, storage, and peripherals.
Next question, please.
John Wilkie, please state your company name followed by your question.
With the Wall Street Journal. Good afternoon. You, Bill, you made some general comments about profitability in the current quarter in your analyst's conference call. Can you tell us what to expect in the current quarter? You said a modest profit was probable, as I understand it. Are we right?
Well, John, we're operating very close to our break-even point. Cost structure with the revenue in quarter one being below what it was quarter one a year ago, we came very close to breaking even for that quarter. So we would expect as we consolidate these gains in the cost structure in the future and start to grow our revenue again, product and service revenue, that we will be profitable. And certainly that's the company's goal and plan to return to profitability as quickly as we can.
In the second fiscal quarter?
It's hard to predict the actual level of revenue or profit in the quarter, but certainly our plan to get there as quickly as possible, including quarter two.
Mr. Lucenti, is there any evidence that you're gaining market share again in workstations yet?
No. We're just barely holding our own right now.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Liz Gillespie, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, this is Liz Gillespie at Bloomberg Business News. I would like to ask a question about the reference to more restructuring activity planned for the rest of fiscal 94. Do you expect layoffs to occur during the balance of this fiscal year? And if so, what will be the size of these layoffs?
Yes, let me try to answer that. A year ago last June, when we took our large restructuring provision, $1.5 billion, we laid out a plan which we intended to implement over 2 years, which we are basically still implementing as we had planned. And it called for very significant reductions in expenses and population in fiscal year 93, which we in fact achieved. And there will be some additional restructuring activity as we go through the rest of this fiscal year. In terms of population reductions, we don't have exact numbers to give you. It probably will be smaller than it was over the last four quarters, in which we took population down by approximately 15,000.
How many do you expect this year?
Well, we don't know exactly. We're focusing on our cost structure by business unit, by territory. We're in some cases doing some hiring, skills that we need that we don't currently have in the company. There is some attrition. The attrition rate has picked up a little bit from what it was a couple of years ago. We, at one time, the analysts were talking about a range of 85 to 90,000. They test that range with us all the time, and we basically say that's as good a range as any. We ended the quarter at 93,200, which was down about 1,000 people from the end of quarter four.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question, please.
Tom Fahey, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Yes, I'm from the Union Leader in Manchester, New Hampshire. You mentioned that you've cut research and engineering costs by about 22%. I believe you said that now is roughly 10.4% of revenues.
That's correct.
In the quick changing environment in high tech, computer research, and so on, is a cut in research and development a wise move at this time?
Let me answer that. That's a very good question. We have looked at all of our competitors, and most of them are in the comparable businesses are in the 8 to 9 to 10% range for R&D spending. The real question, and so we're right in that range, and we're close to being where we want to be in terms of our competitive benchmarks on research and engineering. We were able to make those reductions not by cutting back on any of the critical technology-related investments we wanted to make, most of the gains were made by simply eliminating the duplication and concentrating on a core set of product investments, which we did about 6 or 8 months ago. So I think Digital's level of research and development investment is still very competitive. The output we're getting or the return we're getting on that investment is very competitive. And we would not expect to see major changes in the level of investment for research and engineering. As you know, we have invested heavily in our alpha technology all the way from the semiconductor engineering and manufacturing process that we've developed through to implementing that technology and everything from personal computer configurations all the way up to large servers that go into data centers. And that investment is continuing, both the hardware and software side of that. And we don't at this time expect to pull back or reduce any of those investments from our long-range plan.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
Craig Stedman, please state your company name followed by your question.
Hi, I'm with Computer World. I have two questions for Mr. Lucente. First, on DECO-SF1, when do you expect to start seeing some growth in terms of the commercial sales of DECO-SF1? And how do you expect to compete with the likes of HP, IBM, Sun, and the established commercial Unix vendors?
Well, as you probably know, the major part of the October 12th announcement was a series of specific commercial attributes that really gave us, for the first time, an OSF1 capability that would enable us to provide the kind of function necessary for commercial applications. So, obviously, that was the bulk of the announcement. That's where we expect the growth to occur. We already have more than 1,500 applications from third parties that are running on OSF1, which are targeted at the commercial marketplace. So the growth that we need is going to occur now because we really haven't had as much of that capability or as competitive a capability there as we have needed. Your other question, how do I expect to compete with the likes of HP and IBM?
So what's your advantage? What do you see as your competitive advantage?
Well, I'll give you a couple, and then I'll turn it over to Bud Enright. I think, first of all, the fact that we truly have an open strategy, unlike any of our competition, enables us to attract third parties with the feeling that their investments are going to be well protected, and the fact that our business practices would convey to our customers our willingness to operate and integrate with our competitors is an advantage. Secondly, I think the capabilities of Alpha and the ability to use Alpha to maintain price performance leadership, as well as the inherent capability of the architecture itself, is clearly a decided advantage. The third thing is that as you look at how these systems are being deployed, what customers really want to understand is how to put it all together. And I believe that is part of Digital's heritage, that capability, the networking skills and the networking technology that we have clearly sets us apart from HP and IBM. But let me turn it over to Bud Enright, see if he has anything to add to that.
I have a couple of things I'd like to add to that. The OSF1 version 2 that we announced on October 12th is the most industry-compliant version of OS of Unix that's available on the marketplace from anyone, with full support for both POSIX as well as System 5 requirements. That's a unique advantage that we have in that environment. We think that in the world of open client server, that because of the mixed environment that customers have, that they will want more access to a Unix that supports both of the major standards that are in the industry. So from a standard standpoint, we believe that we have a leadership position there right now. The second thing that we have going on in that area that I think will help us at the workstation level and away from Unix would be the relationship that we have with Microsoft in the area of NT. And what we're building into our version of Unix as well as to our implementation of NT is true interoperability between the operating systems. So someone that has a workgroup environment or has a, let's say, a technical application running under Unix, they will have accessibility to the features of both operating systems if they choose to put them into that environment. I believe that the environment at the desktop, which would include workstations or high-end PCs, is definitely heading towards full compliance of OSF1 and its attributes and workgroup computing, and we think that that's going to be a productive and increasingly effective strategy for us to implement.
The comment about NT brought up the second question that I wanted to ask. There's a perception out there that digital has maybe lowered the priority a little bit on Windows NT, at least for the short term, in order to focus more on the Unix market, where the immediate growth, you know, the opportunities might be greater. Can you comment on that? Is that an accurate perception?
Try it again. Ask the question again because you kept fading out on it.
Okay, sorry. There's a perception out there that digital has maybe lowered the priority a little bit on Windows NT, at least in the short term, in order to focus more resources and attention on DECOSF1 and the Unix market, because of that may be where the growth opportunities are, you know, right now. Can you comment on that perception? Whether that's an accurate perception?
This is Bud Enright. I think what you may be seeing is a very strong desire on the part of all of us to make sure that the world realizes that we have the best Unix around. And you're seeing some reflection of that in probably the energy that we're putting into the marketplace in that regard. But that should not be any kind of indication that what we're doing on Windows NT is not a unique advantage that we're going to exploit fully. We truly have the best arrangement right now with Microsoft of any of the providers in the NT environment in terms of integration of our plans and programs and support with them. And the emphasis in the company is very well balanced in both areas, because that's the unique advantage we have, serving the needs at the desktop for both environments.
Next question, please.
Glenn Rifkin, please state your company name, followed by your question.
This is Glenn Rifkin from the New York Times. A couple of questions. You mentioned the reductions and the restructuring are pretty much done, or at least handled as you thought. Are there going to be, is that $1.5 billion you mentioned, is that going to cover any further restructuring that needs to be done, or will further charges possibly need to be taken?
Glenn, I tried to explain that this was intended to be a two-year program and is still a two-year program covering fiscal year 93 and 94. We had about $738 million left in the restructuring reserve at the end of the fiscal year, and we further reduced that in quarter one so that it's just over $600 million today. And we intend to continue to use that restructuring reserve for further consolidations of facilities, plants, and population reductions around the world.
Yeah, I've heard that there are some rumors floating inside digital that some really heavy layoffs might be coming. As you mentioned, you talked about this a little before, but is it possible this could be ramped up even more than the dribs and drabs that have been happening just lately?
Well, we are not in a position yet to disclose any specific plans. We have a policy of discussing those with our employees first before we disclose those plans publicly. But we are continuing on the program that we have established, and it will not result in larger numbers this year than it did last year, unless, of course, for some unseen reasons, business conditions continue to deteriorate. But at this point in time, we don't see the need for additional reserves. We see our plans as being on target, and we're not doing anything dramatic, let me put it that way.
Okay. Next question, please.
Oh, can I ask one more, or is it too late?
Go ahead.
I just was really curious, and this is for Ed Lucenti. You talked about trying to get focused and prop up revenues, increase revenues, et cetera. It struck me as very odd that your announcement of October 12th was talking about 150 or more products and services all at once. This struck me as anything but focused. The results in the coverage in the media following that announcement seemed to bear me out, because no one really quite was sure what was the announcement focused on. And I'm wondering if in this effort to sort of let the sales force know where what the directions are, et cetera. This doesn't smack of the older digital, where there was a lot more confusion surrounding announcements than there was for explanations, clear explanations.
Glenn, your last question faded out, and I'll have to ask you to restate it.
Okay. I just was curious about the October 12th announcement, trying to focus on revenue growth and coming out with announcements like this where you're talking about 150-plus products and services where the message gets so either diluted or garbled that even in the media coverage in the following day, depending on who you read, you wouldn't have really even known they were the same announcement. And I'm wondering if this is not just a similar problem to the ones that digital's had in the past, where the message seems to get garbled.
Let me answer it this way, Glenn. First of all, I spent a fair amount of time with customers in my first 90 days, and they made it very clear to me that the only way they could understand digital strategy would be to get it articulated to them in a very clear and consistent fashion, number one. Number two, they had some real questions about the balance between our investments in OpenVMS versus our investments in Unix. And number three, they wanted to make sure that all aspects of the digital product plan were focused on solving what they viewed to be their major requirement, being the need to move from large mainframe computing to open client server computing. I personally hosted the announcement in Paris, as Bob Palmer did in Silicon Valley, and it was very clear to me, and it was very clear to all the customers that I talked to, and I received a very positive reaction from the customers because everything that we announced, all 200 products, were aimed at reinforcing our commitment to, first of all, protecting our customers' investment in VMS and our commitment to being leadership in open client-server computing, with what I thought was a very rational balance between OpenVMS and Unix. Admittedly, it was a lot to digest, and so there was more to the announcement than just a 2.5-hour customer event. We followed that with a series of one-on-many sessions where we talked to the customers about specific industry implementation of what was announced. And then we followed that again with one-on-one sessions between our salespeople and their customers, where they delivered roughly 2,000 specific proposals to our top 2,000 customers, where they made very clear what the relevance of this announcement was to the specific customer's need. I haven't been around digital but more than slightly less than six months. I don't think this is anything like anything that digital's ever done before.
Next question, please.
Rick Whiting, please state your company name followed by your question.
Yes, Rick Whiting, Digital News and Review. A couple related questions from Mr. Lucente regarding the recent reorganization of the sales and marketing and merging those with the business units. Can you talk a little bit more on what's the strategy behind that or what you hope to gain? Mr. Stuhl mentioned focus on the customer and efficiencies, but can you be a little bit more specific? And also, all related to that, what's the timetable for that? Has that been completed, or when will it be completed? And finally, did this have any impact on the quarter that we're talking about financially, or what kind of impact could it have on the quarter that we're in right now?
Well, first of all, it should have nothing but a positive impact. Second of all, this is not a reorganization. All we did was we combined the five customer business units into the same organization that I was previously managing, which were the geographic territories. So now what we have is integrated all of the sales and marketing activities. Before, the five business unit general managers reported to Bob Palmer. Now they report to me. We will continue to manage our business along customer business unit lines and measure our progress along customer business unit lines, and we will continue our drive to increase our specialization in our sales force by customer business unit. What we will accomplish by this is, at the same time, we are centralizing all of our product marketing responsibilities under Bud Enright, who is also part of the Worldwide Sales and Marketing Organization. So what you now have is a classic, fully integrated, global sales and marketing organization, all focused on the customer and users, where we expect to get more impact in the marketplace, but also expect to see some efficiencies in our operation. So I would not characterize this as any kind of a reorganization. It had zero change in our field organization, zero change at the territory levels, and within our headquarters operation, the only change is that the customer business units themselves are now integrated with the rest of our worldwide sales and marketing.
And this has all been completed?
Done.
Next question, please.
Gary McWilliams, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Oh, Business Week Magazine. I have maybe two questions for Ed. Ed, they seem to be talking about the customer mix problem. Seems to be the issue with a fall off in the high-end system sales. Is that affecting both the Alpha AXP and the VAX product lines, or is it the VAX alone?
Let me ask you to say that again, Gary. I'll make sure I got your assumption there correct.
So when you talk about a revenue mix problem here, I take it what you're talking about is the high-end sales, high-end systems aren't selling. I'm trying to get a sense, is that affecting both the Alpha AXP lines as well as the VAX line?
Well,
or is it VAX solely?
First of all, I think what we're seeing here is what's been happening in the industry over the last 4 or 5 years, which is small things are selling faster than big things. Fortunately, in our case, we don't have as much a dependence on these larger systems as others do. But clearly, we're going through a product transition, which is going to be in front of us for the next several quarters. And perhaps the first quarter this year was one where, with the new product announcements coming up in October, with the amount of training that was necessary to get this underway, that perhaps we didn't have as much focus on the customers as we needed to keep our business flowing. But we're essentially on the plan that we had as far as our VMS installed base is concerned. The biggest problem that we're wrestling with is that we, and I think we discussed this when we met in Boston, we're just not growing our business in the small and medium enterprises as fast as our competition. And that is where we have lost market share. And that, as you know, is where all the growth occurs. And there's a fair number of the larger systems that are going there, not a whole lot. And that's clearly a marketplace for the workstations and for personal computers. That is where our strategies are aimed now. And if we're going to grow with the industry and hold market share, we clearly have to be more effective there. So the short answer to your question is we're essentially on the plan. We are in a period of product transition. That should be behind us within the next 3 to 6 months. And in the meantime, we are putting more and more of our resource and focus on the growth markets, which are principally outside the digital install base.
Next question, please.
Joanna Schmidt, please state your company name, followed by your question.
Gazette Telegraph, Colorado Springs. You addressed it a bit earlier, but I'm wondering if you can go a little more detail about how your storage business is performing and what you expect from that in the future.
Well, yes. Our storage business is growing extremely well. As you know, we've made some significant investments there. We just recently had a very major win awarded to us at US West. That was predicated on the fact that we clearly have performance leadership with our storage products. We've just recently announced StorageWorks capability that allows us to span not only digital workstations, but Sun workstations as well. And so we expect double-digit growth there and a substantial increase in market share.
How much?
I'm sorry?
How much in terms of market share do you expect to gain?
Frankly, Joanne, I don't know. I just that's the number I don't have with me.
Next question, please.
Aaron Zittner, please state your company name, followed by your question.
I'm with the Boston Globe. Could you gentlemen go over again what evidence you have in hand that Alpha is catching on and, once again, what it's contributing to revenues?
Alpha accounts for 20% of our system revenue in our first quarter. And that was about what we expected, and it's ramping up as the VAX business tails off, which was also expected. And as we complete the applications portfolio, which the announcement addressed on the 12th of October, we expect to see revenues continuing to grow in absolute numbers and also as a percent of the company's total revenues. If we took all of our product revenue combined in addition to our systems revenue, Alpha accounted for 10% of the product business in the quarter. So Alpha is continuing to go in an upward direction as we roll out the software. I think it's always interesting to remind ourselves that we didn't have the OSF-1 operating system to ship until late in our third quarter last year, March timeframe. And NT was announced in early September of the first quarter. So completing the applications, even though we've got a lot of applications on the OpenVMS platform, completing the applications on the new operating systems that have just started to ship is, of course, key to how fast we can ramp this up.
I can pick up on that a little bit. This is Bud Enright. Just a couple of comments. There are many positive indicators surrounding the Alpha microprocessor technology, product line, family, and customer reaction. And I'd be willing to take a call from you after the program if you'd like to go into some of these in a little more detail so I don't tie up the network. But I've got several things I'd like to point out. From the pure standpoint of hardware performance, we've recently released, as indicated in the October 12th announcements, the second generation of the Alpha microprocessor family. And the performance has gone up to raise the bar for all the others in this field who look at megahertz performance on microprocessor technology. That's given us ability to hold the high ground, low ground, and medium ground on price performance across the product area. Secondly, the reaction from the customers that have the products right now has been very satisfactory. It's been pleasing. The results that we hear, that I hear from customers around the globe, have been results that indicate that it's performing well, it's meeting or exceeding their expectations. As we begin to concentrate on bringing the applications online that drive the sale of any product in this business, I think we've got a pretty good suite of answers from an application perspective on the three principal operating systems that represent the Alpha environment. That is OpenVMS for existing customers, where the action is at the desktop, and Windows NT, which is going to be the future major provider of client and server activity in the large industrial sector. So we think we've got a pretty good set of software solutions to support both the operating system, the network system, as you saw in the October 12th announcement, and at the application layer. What I'm working on with Ed right now is concentrating on the implementation at the sales and at the customer level, and this includes training, advertising, coordinated marketing programs, and I think you'll start to see some effect from those in the quarters ahead. Overall, we're satisfied that the Alpha microprocessor remains a strong competitive advantage for us.
Next question, please.
Liz Galise, please state your company, followed by your question.
Hi, this is Liz Galise again at Bloomberg. I want to ask another question about revenue and profit. You said that you'll show a sequential gain in revenue for the second quarter over the first, but will it be higher or lower than the year-ago second quarter, and what about the full year with respect to revenue?
That's a very good question, and we expect to have improving revenue and profit sequentially. However, a year ago in Q3, when we reported $3.7 billion in revenue, we had a large positive currency translation gain, if you will, and we're not expecting that to repeat. In fact, we're expecting it to be the opposite impact in quarter two.
You said quarter three. Do you mean quarter two?
I thought you were asking me about quarter two. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was, but I thought I heard you say Q3, but I could have been wrong. I just want to clear it up.
Okay, well, I was referencing quarter two when we had the $3.7 billion in revenue, and roughly $200 million of that was currency-related.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask, can we do better than $3.7 billion in quarter two, it's very difficult for me or anybody else here to give you an answer. we expect to grow our revenues from the quarter one level and to improve our profitability. And in fact, we have had a game plan right along of improving our results quarter over quarter, year over year on the bottom line. And since the new management has been in place, we've been able to accomplish that, including in quarter one. And we expect to continue to evaluate ourselves that way as we go forward. Obviously, we want to grow our revenues with the industry and even faster eventually, and we want to return to a reasonable level of profitability. But getting there takes some time, and improving every quarter over the same quarter a year ago is fundamental to this recovery, in our opinion.
Next question, please.
Craig Stedman, please go ahead with your follow-up question.
Hi, I'm with Computer World still. I was wondering when do you expect Windows NT to start providing some significant what you would consider significant revenues? Is that still a couple of years away?
Well, that's a question we ought to ask Bud to comment on.
Sure.
Well, the question leads to what your expectations would be for Windows NT in the marketplace. I have a bias. I think Windows NT is going to be a very significant performer in the marketplace, and most of the analyst data I see has it pegged right where you see it, where you suggested, about 2 years away as to where the volume will be at the client server level. We started shipping Windows NT in a production level version about a month ago now, and we've had some significant some wins recently that are quite satisfying. I think you're just going to see steady improved performance as people start to move either into a mixed environment of Unix and Windows NT or going directly to Windows NT from existing proprietary operating systems.